You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Condolences do go out to Rusty and Renee and the family. And I don't know what happened. I just know it was shocking with the loss of Shane. So be in prayer. If you're a prayer warrior, especially if you're not a prayer warrior and you're a prayer wimp, then learn how to pray. Amen? Because you don't know, you don't realize. Right now in this room, the Holy Spirit is here. You believe that? Amen. Do you? Amen. Okay. And it says, whenever one or two are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So somehow Jesus is here. And also, you might not know, we preached on this about two months ago, and the Bible says it clearly, we just don't think about it. There's a whole bunch of angels here. A whole bunch of angels. Now, if everybody has a guardian angel, then there's that many angels. Or if, you know, some angels say, hey, take care of Fred, I'm going on vacation, then maybe there's a few less angels. But there are a whole bunch of angels here. And also, somebody else trying to get in. That would be Satan or his demons. We're in a spiritual battle. And sometimes we just, you know, we're clueless. And that's what the message is today. Before I go there, though, tomorrow, Monday, is what? Veterans Day. All right, so you know what's going to happen. My veterans, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Veterans, come on. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. All right, give them a hand. Also now add to them active duty. You're going to one day be a veteran. Stand to your feet. Come on, active duty. All right. There you go. There you go. Going to get those veterans benefits. Amen. All right. Well, now stay standing. I didn't give you the order to sit down. Pop tall. All right. Army, let me hear you. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Navy. Yeah. All right, it's a Navy area. Air Force. Oh my goodness. All right, you got it so far. Marines. Okay. Space Force. No. Coast Guard, Coasties. All right, well, praise God for you. CIA Black Ops. All right. So we appreciate you folks, we really do, for what you have done and how you have served or are serving, and we appreciate you, and we owe you a great deal of gratitude. Give them a hand again. Amen. Have a seat. Now you can have a seat. All right, turn in your Bibles to Acts, the book of Acts. What's the name of the book? Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 19. We're moving right through the book of Acts. We're on week number 36 in the book of Acts. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've been learning and enjoying. And we're looking this morning at clueless Christians in the information age. Clueless Christians. So Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, you're like, oh, crud, I don't have a Bible. There should be one close to you, one of the blue ones in the seat backs. Grab that. That is now yours, our gift to you. Put your name in it and bring it back every Sunday, okay? And on that, it's page number what? 1028. 1028 in that Bible. All right. So we said Acts 19, did we not? Verse number 1. And it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. Circle Ephesus if you're a circler in your Bible, a writer. I like to do that with locations. So he came to where? Ephesus. There he found some disciples. So he just found some disciples. They're like, hey, we're disciples. And he said to them, now I underline this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Which is an interesting question. I mean, why do you ask that? And they said, no. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I underlined that each word. We haven't even heard. And he said, all right, background checking them, into what then were you baptized? Because they've been baptized. They said, into John's baptism. Paul does some training, teaching here. He said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. All right, so John's baptism is different than believer's baptism, all right? It's not bad. It was just a preparatory baptism for the Messiah who was coming. And so he said, telling the people, it was a John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus, underline double. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, so they were obedient, not like some of you. I was baptized a Methodist, all right? Well, were you sprinkled? Yeah, okay, that's not real baptism. All right, just getting real here, real with the word of God. I was baptized a Presbyterian, sprinkled. And after I trusted Christ, was baptized as a believer, okay? Some of you need to step up like these dudes. These dudes stepped up right there. And so when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues. That Greek word is glossa, which means what? Languages. There's, you know, some speaking in Aramaic, French, whatever, and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Now you're like, okay, what's that? You know, does that mean we're supposed to speak in tongues? No, this is a transitory thing. You see it happening when the gospel was brought to the Gentiles, when the gospel was brought to the Samaritans. It's the proof that, wow, they really have trusted Jesus, all right? That's before the whole word of God was given. And so it's a transitory thing, I believe. You can disagree with me, that's fine. We just ain't doing it here, okay? You go, well, I'm doing it in my house. Well, then have at it. So when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue. I circled that because that's Paul's strategy. He always goes to a synagogue, starts preaching until they kick him out. About 3 months, they put up with him, spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way is what they called Christians early on, before the congregation, they're like, oh, these people are idiots. He withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. I circled that. So they found another meeting place. One thing that we have, you know, to do when we go to these, plant these churches is, in these other countries, is to find a meeting place. Nothing has changed for 2,000 years. This continued for 2 years, so that, and I underline each word, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. I would call that effective evangelization, amen? Both Jews and Greeks. So today, and what we just read here, these 12 sincere believers in Jesus, they were believing in the Messiah, were in huge areas of their faith clueless. They were clueless. And before we judge them, let's admit something, all right? So are many of us today, right here, spiritually clueless. So the message today, for those of you that need your title, Clueless Christians in the Information Age. Clueless Christians in the Information Age. John, how can you say that some of us here are clueless? Several reasons. First, I've been pastoring here for 25 years. Secondly, I've been in the ministry for close to 40 years. But the biggest reason that I know that some of you are clueless is because I've been clueless as a Christian. I have. I've been there. I've done. I've had gaps in my understanding of the Word of God. That's not calling you anything. It's not a bad name. It's just you're clueless. Some of you are very clueless about this Christian life or portions of it. So in Acts 19, verse 1, go back there, and I'm going to have it on the screen. At Ephesus, where? Ephesus. Paul found some disciples. Hey, guys. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they're like, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. You're like, how could they not know that? You know, from our vantage point, we're like, what? How could you not know that? But many of us are clueless about spiritual things concerning the Spirit of God. End result, we're often beaten because of that. We're anemic as Christians, stale, even spiritual failures. And you say, some of you might go, hey, I'm a Christian, John, don't worry about me. I got my ticket to heaven, got my get out of hell, you know, free pass, everything's okay. But God wants you to know that that's not the end, that's the beginning. That's just the beginning. The birth of a child. When you have a child, some of you just had children. When you have a child, you know, you don't bring them home and go, okay, here's the car keys. Right? That's the beginning. It's not the end. You realize there's a whole lot of training that's going to go. Potty training first, which is no fun. The kid comes home. I love you, parents, but your babies are beautiful, but they're also clueless. Your child is clueless. Oh, he's so smart. He don't know a thing. All right? And he needs to be what? Taught. And God doesn't want you clueless. He wants you taught. He wants you to explore what you have in Christ. Now, I'm going to throw you a curveball, all right? In your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians, but we're in the book of Acts. I know we're in the book of Acts, but Paul is currently in what city? Ephesus. Ephesus is where Paul later writes a letter to, saying, hey, Ephesians, church in Ephesus, when I first came, y'all were clueless, and so you could title the book of Ephesians, get a clue. Get a clue. Ephesians, Paul goes deep. He goes deep. Some of you need to immerse yourself, baptize yourself in the book of Ephesians because you don't know a lot about the spiritual things, spiritual matters, who you are in Christ, what you have, your privileges as a believer. And so you're living hollowed out lives because you're still walking around. You've been a Christian for 20 years, but you're still, in God's eyes, in diapers. And so we're just going to pick it up. Hopefully I won't run over time, but who cares, right? In Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to track with me. I want you to track with me, all right? We're going to pick it up. Paul says, hey, in the first two verses. And then he jumps into it. Blessed. And every time you see blessed, you ought to circle that. What is being blessed, John? Remember my quote? I stole it from somebody, but I love it. To be blessed, just go around and go, oh, bless you, bless you. We don't know what that means. We know it means something vaguely positive. But to be blessed is to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. To be blessed is to be on the receiving end of the tangible favor of God. That's the things you can see. Hey, God, I need a new vehicle. Hey, God, I need a new job. And the intangible, Lord, I need peace. Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I need to love my neighbor because he's a jerk. The tangible and intangible favor of God. So blessed, that's what being blessed is. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, boom, blessed us in Christ. How did he bless us? In Christ. With how many spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us. I mean, this gets deep in him. Before the foundation of the world, it was God choosing me, not me choosing God. That, why did he choose us? That we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he, scary word, predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. You see, this is all focusing on God. God using you. So we should be, I lost it, his will. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, he just keeps going. We have redemption in Christ. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. But a lot of us don't know it because we're clueless. According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. It all keeps coming back to Jesus as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. In him, there it is again, we have obtained a what? An inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things. How many things? All things according to the counsel of his will, so that, here's why, we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee, the what? The guarantee of our inheritance. Oh, I think I can lose my salvation. God says no, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, that's all set up. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. What do I pray for you? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may, number one, give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Number two, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Number three, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Number four, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. How much? And gave him as head over all things to the what? Church, which is his body, the fullness. The church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Whew. Wow. That's a lot that God has done for us. Most of you, many of you, I don't say most, many of you don't know that. You are clueless about most of this. You know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I trusted Jesus. Cool, 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 you're a baby. You don't know what you have in Christ, your inheritance in Christ, your power in Christ. And so today we're going to try to help you to get a clue. Amen. These, and I'm not beating you up. These sincere believers in Ephesus, they were trying to serve Jesus. They just didn't know much about Jesus. And Paul didn't go, "You're okay, you're okay." You know, he's like, "No, man, sit down. Let me clue you in." So we're springboarding off this text, and like I said, the book of Ephesians could be called "Get a Clue." So are you clueless? Are you clueless? Three questions. Got 3 points today. Three questions that I've got to ask myself, that you need to ask yourself, that you need to get in the front of a mirror and ask yourself. Number one, are you ready? Yes. Oh, that wasn't good. Are you ready?
Yes.
Better. Number one, am I clueless about my possessions? Am I clueless about my possessions? In Ephesians, back to Ephesians, or we're in still in Ephesians, sorry, chapter 1 and verse 15. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my what? What did Paul do a lot?
Pray.
Does that, you know, I don't need to pray because I'm not one of them apostles. No, you're either, and I'm convinced of this, and I've been on the other side of this. You're either a prayer warrior or a prayer wimp. You are. Like John Rice said, all of our failures are prayer failures. You have not because you ask not. Well, God knows what I need. I know, but for some reason, he wants to include you in it. For some reason, he wants to include you in it. Just like, you know, God's the one that sets up kings, all right? We just went through an election. He's setting up, I don't need no applause. He's from you Republicans, he's going to set up another king, all right? He sets up kings, he takes down kings. So then why do I need to vote? Because God says, you know, be a good citizen. I've established government. He uses in the process. I don't know how or why necessarily, but he does. So in giving us the word of God, he could have floated this thing down, you know, with the angels and written it all. But no, he used men, fallible men, to write his perfect word. That's how he works. He uses us. And so Paul says, hey, I remember you. I pray for you guys. I don't just say, I'll pray for you and then forget. I really pray for you. I spend hours praying for you guys, calling you out by name, calling out your needs. What do I pray? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I want you to grow in your knowledge. I want you to understand what you have in Christ, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. That's huge, huge stuff from the Word of God. Well, John, I think I know God pretty good. Acid test, then. Acid test. This is not how much can you cram in your cranium. Here's the acid test. Say acid test. Say it louder.
Acid test.
This is not my acid test. This is the Apostle John's by the Holy Spirit. We know. How can I know? We know that we have come to know him. How? If we have bumper stickers on our SUV. Huh? If we what? Obey his commandments. Not perfectly. None of us are perfect. But is the track record of your life that you want to obey Jesus, that you're seeking to obey Jesus' commands? Or do you just come into church and go, yeah, okay, whatever, and you check off the box, and then you go and do your life? If that's you, you cannot really say, now you might be a Christian, you might be a scallywag Christian, you might be a Christian that needs a butt beaten, you might be a baby Christian crapping in your diapers, but you cannot really genuinely say, according to the Word of God, I'm a Christian. You can't have that assurance if that's your lifestyle. And so because John is dealing with, hey, how can I know that I'm going to heaven, man? How can I know that I really, am a Christian? We know we've come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says I know him, but does not do what he commands is a what? Pants on fire. And the truth is not in him. That's the acid test. That's not my test. That's God's test. That's the essence of the Christian life, is knowing Jesus, really, really knowing Jesus. I know that sounds preachery, but it's the word of God. It's biblical. The reason that some of you, your lives suck so much is because you don't know much about Jesus. You might know him enough to get in the front door of heaven. You might know him as Savior, but you don't know much else about him. If I know Jesus, I will know, the Bible says, I will get to know his Father. If I know Jesus, I will start walking in his Spirit. If I know Jesus, I'm going to be seeking the will of Jesus. If I know Jesus, I will grasp all of his benefits. I'll say, wow, whoa, this is what you bought for me? This is amazing stuff. So I want you to listen. Paul, in essence, was praying that they would quit frantically praying for something they already had in Christ, like some of you are doing. What do you mean? Story goes of William Randolph Hearst, back at the turn of the 1900s, rich dude, owned all these newspapers, owned two castles, had so much money, and he was an art collector. And so he had this one exceptionally valuable piece of art that he really wanted. He wanted it so bad, so he instructed his agent to scour the world. They didn't know where it was at, had lost track of it. Scour the galleries of the world to find this thing. I wanted it, any price. And about a year later, he's super embarrassed when it turns out that after months of seeking and painstaking research, the guy came back and said, oh, sir, I found that painting. Awesome, where is it? It's in one of your warehouses. You've owned it for years. That's some of you. That's some of us. Some of us are clueless about this. The new birth, and you ought to write this down. I don't have it on the screen, but you ought to write this down. The new birth grants every believer everything in Christ. The new birth, trusting Jesus, grants every believer everything in Christ. Everything that Christ has for me, it's already mine if I'm a believer. I don't have to pray for it, don't have to ask for it. I just grasp it. I start using it. I start utilizing it. Well, what do you mean, John? 2 Peter, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, John, I can't live a godly Christian life. Liar! You can. If you're really a believer, he's already given you. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can quit that addiction. You can quit that pornography. You don't have to be running around. You don't have to have those thoughts. You don't have to live in that shame. You don't have to listen to Satan and go, yes, sir. You don't have to, because he has given, if you're really a believer, if you're not, then you don't have any of this, but if you're really a believer, he has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. How, well, John, I don't know, what do I, because he gives it through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. You don't have the knowledge. And that is why your Christian life, some of you, sucks. And let me say, in major areas, it's your fault. But in some areas, it's our fault. Because we haven't confronted you. We haven't gotten your grill, maybe. Maybe we've been too nice. We've hugged you when you came up and said, pray for me. And we've not asked you, hey man, how's your walk with Jesus? How's your walk with Jesus? Instead, we just kind of pray and go. Because, it's hard to ask somebody who's going through it, who's messing up their own life, hey, maybe it's you. Maybe it's your lack of knowledge of Jesus. How much time do you spend a week in the Bible? How much time a day do you spend in the Bible? How much time do you spend in prayer? Are you a prayer warrior or a prayer wimp? You can figure those things out. As a physician, a spiritual physician, you would then deduce that, you ain't feeding yourself spiritually. You've got all the access to all the things that Jesus has bought you, and you ain't grasping any of them, or very few of them. Maybe you're a Christian and you're living in despair, and Paul is saying you have no right to that despair. That despair does not have your name on it. You have no right to it. You know who had despair? Bill Gates. Bill Gates, man, he's one of the richest guys in the world. If he's not a Christian, his stuff's all going to burn one day with his soul. That's rough. That's the word of God. You know who ought to despair? P. Diddy. P. Diddy ought to be despairing right now. But I know a lot of people, you know, talk Jesus but don't walk Jesus. And the Bible says if they don't walk Jesus, then you don't have to believe that they know Jesus. You, Christian, right now, don't have to despair. Some of you are wasting your life, wasting your time, despairing about things that God has given you the resources and the power to overcome. I'm not saying it'll happen like that. It's not 1, 2, 3, pray after me stuff. It's not magical incantations. But it's the Word of God. Well, things like what? John, God, for his kids only truth, has been revealed to me to keep me from despair, to give me what they talked about, hope. Like what? Like what, John? You're not going to be able to write these down, but try. The truth of my election. We just read it. Before the foundation of the world. You didn't just happen on Jesus as a choose Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, he elected you as his child. Placed his love on you. Proactively. Woo! The truth about my adoption. I'm adopted. He went into the nursery room, the orphanage of humanity, and said, I want that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. He adopted you to be made in the image of Christ, brought into the family of God. The truth of my redemption. I am a purchased possession. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. The truth of my sealing by his Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You are sealed. He's put his stamp on you. He says, until the day of redemption, until it's all over. And he says, boom, here you are. How do you like heaven? The truth of my glorification. The Bible says, and we don't totally understand this, I am seated now. God sees me as seated now in the heavenlies with Christ. Seated. Whoa, in the world's not even work. He does not live in time. He lives in eternity. And so he sees everything all at once. Don't ask me how he does it. But he sees you as already there. Man, I tell you what, that should make somebody say amen. Amen. As a blood-bought child of God, I have no right to despair. That is not my right. That is not my right. And when I despair, I am faithless. And I'm ignorant of the Word of God, and I'm clueless. So am I clueless about my possessions? Number two, am I clueless about my property? About my property. In verse 18 of chapter 1, Ephesians, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. The hope to which he has called you. Dude named Jack Worm. That's an unfortunate name. W-U-R-M. But still, I'd have changed my name. Jack Worm. And he had like a wormy type of life. He was broke, 1949. He's out of a job. He's sad. He's despondent. He's over in San Francisco Beach, just kicking, you know, walking around. And he sees this bottle. No lie. He sees this bottle. He looks at it, big old wine bottle. And inside it's got something. There's a piece of paper. He's like, yeah, right. He opens it up. He opens it up. And he reads the note. And he discovers that it's the last will and testament of Daisy Singer Alexander, the heir of the Singer sewing machine fortune. He's like, oh, this can't be real. And the note reads this: to avoid confusion, I leave my entire estate to the lucky person who finds this bottle and to my attorney, share and share alike. He takes it to court. Took a long process. They accept finally the theory that the heiress had written the note 12 years earlier, threw the bottle into the Thames River in London, England. It drifted across the ocean all the way around and comes to the feet of penniless and jobless Jack Worm. His chance discovery netted him over $6 million in 1949 dollars and Singer stock. How would you have liked to have been that dude on that beach? Now, some of you are going to go to Virginia Beach this afternoon. And yet $6 million is nothing compared to our spiritual inheritance. And the sad thing is, some of you don't believe it. You don't believe it because you're clueless. You're clueless. Am I clueless about my inheritance that I can access today? The Christian life is more than just I've got a mansion over a hilltop. It's that I can live spiritually rich today. And God also many times tangibly blesses me and meets my needs. Amen? And by the way, I'm an American, so I'm automatically in the top 1% of the world. Those of you who complain. And I don't want to minimize heaven. Hey, Christian, your property in heaven is going to make Elon Musk look like one of those panhandlers over at Walmart. Oh, it will. Elon's got nothing. Got nothing that's going to last unless he trusts Jesus. But we're talking about spiritual riches, spiritual blessings from the hand of Father God to us, his kiddos, right now in this life. But, well, John, how do I get it? How do I access it? You get to know him. You get to know him. Well, John, I don't know. I don't have much time. Don't lie at God's church. You spend hours, some of you, concentrating and tweaking your fantasy football team. You do. Others of you spend hours binging every night. Some of you don't have a job and stay at home binging Netflix shows. That's usually, oh, I don't have any time. Shut up. Others of you, you're judging these people, but here you come. You spent all night on a Tuesday night recently till 4 a.m. watching election returns on TV with your iPad, 3 different live blogs, refresh, refresh, refresh. You know you did. I ain't got time to get in the Word of God like Pastor John. Shut up. You get all the time that you need. You just need to have priorities. And then many of us, we give all those hours to those things, and we give minutes to Jesus. Sunday a.m. So when you give Jesus some minutes, if Pastor John goes a little long, okay, 65. But even then, you checked your watch 3 times. Get a clue. Clueless people of God. So am I clueless about my possessions? Am I clueless about my property rights? Number 3, am I clueless about his power? Am I clueless about his power? Now get this. Back to Ephesians, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And it continues. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards who? Say it. Us who believe. Is that power to Satanists? Huh? Power to people who are religious but don't have Jesus? Come on now. The answer is no. That's power that's just defined and directed to those of us who believe according to the working of his great might. Well, what's that might? Well, what's so powerful? That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places. The same power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead is available to you. So why are you still looking at porn? Why is your marriage suck? Why? Oh, I just can't. I go, shut up. Shut stinking up. If you're a Christian, now if you're not, fine, blow your life up. But if you're a Christian, you have the power, the resurrection power of Jesus that can change your life, that can change hearts, that can break down strongholds. Amen. Quit living like little poverty people. You are rich. You have power. You have power. A Welsh woman lived in a remote valley in Wales, and she went to a great deal of trouble back in the day to have electricity installed to her house. But then as they're looking over the months, she hardly used it at all, and they sent somebody out to see what was wrong. And the guy came to the door and said, hey, we've looked at the amount. Don't you use electricity at all? Oh, yes, we use it. Oh, it's so wonderful. We turn it on every night to help us to light our lamps, and then we switch it off again. That's how many Christians apply the power of God to their lives. Sunday a.m., get up, pull into the parking lot, turn on the little God switch, have your Sunday a.m. service, drink your coffee, fellowship in the foyer. And at the end, in the lobby or out in the parking lot or over at Chili's, you turn the switch off again. Your life can be changed. Your marriage can be fixed. Your addictions could be conquered. That's not me. That's the word of God. Either God's a liar or he's telling the truth, right? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that, you know, you ain't gonna have those temptations. No. But if you learn to armor up, if you learn to present yourself to God, and you learn to say, all right, Lord, I am going to get in your word and I'm going to discover what I have in Christ. And I'm going to avail myself of all the power you're willing to give me. And apparently that was the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. So I figured that can fix any problem I got. God's power, the same power that raised Jesus, is at your disposal to gain the victory over your besetting sin, to have the faith to do what he has called you to do, to endure the sufferings that he has called you to impact your wayward child. A while back, my buddy Steve Swanson, Sue Swanson, were in town, and Steve just in the conversation, hey, you remember that cattle buyer named Brennan? Back in the day, that guy that bought cattle, we sold. Yeah, I said, yeah, I remember. Remember the name? I think I remember. He said, I saw him the other day. And we got to talking about your dad. My dad raised cattle, so he knew him. He said, old man Brennan said, yeah. But now I tell you what, that oldest son of his, he was trouble. And Steve said, hey, guess what he's doing now? You'll never guess. Praise God. I had a dad and a mama who believed and accessed the power that God provided. And it took years. It took my rebellion. It was like 3-4 years long. And they prayed and they prayed and they were disappointed and they were disappointed. And I ran away from home and I stole money and I took dad's pistol and I did all of these stupid things. Came home drunk, puked all over the place. And they kept praying. Because they believe we have a God who can take care of this. Amen. And he did. He did. You have not because you ask not, people. John, it's not happening. Pray more. It's not happening. Pray harder. Pray through. Ephesians 1 and verse 22. He put all things under his feet, gave him his head over all things to the church. To the what? Church was his what? Body. And the church is also the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus thinks highly of the church. Stick with me here. Here's where it comes together. God goes to all the trouble to exalt Jesus and show us all his awesome things that we have in him. And then he brings us this statement. The church means so much for Jesus that he makes it clear, I died for the church. The church means so much to Jesus, he calls it his body. The church means so much to Jesus, he calls it his bride. The church means so much to Jesus that he's coming back for her. How come the church doesn't mean all that much to you? This is his body. Without really being connected in his body, you're a withering limb. The Bible says you're part of his body, you're part of the body. You know, you might be the hand, the feet, the eyes, the whatever. You're part of it, but you're outside the body. You're not really connected to the body. So no wonder your life is withering. Folks, this is pretty simple stuff when you get down to it. Well, John, I just don't have time. Then have your sucky life. All right? You got faith problems? Maybe you've got church problems. That's what it all comes down to. Why are there so many Christians clueless? Why are so many without hope in their calling? Why anemic, pathetic? You write this down. They're ignorant about the victory he's won for them. They're ignorant about the victory he's won for them. I'll close it out in honor of veterans with a military story. General John Wainwright. He was captured by the Japanese World War II. He was taken to a prison camp in Manchuria. And it was bad. It was rough. He was cruelly treated. And it was written, he became a broken, crushed, hopeless, starving man, a general. Finally, the Japanese surrender and the war ends, but they don't know anything about it. So the army sends a colonel to the camp to announce to the personally to the general that Japan has been defeated and the general is free and in command. And when he hears the news, he returns to his quarters and he's confronted by those same guards who used to mistreat him and abuse him and beat him down. And they started to try to do it as in the past. But General Wainwright, however, with the news of the victory still fresh in his mind, declares with authority, "No, I'm in command here. These are my orders." And from that moment on, General Wainwright was in control. But he had to believe it and say it. Question, Christian. Have you been informed of the victory that your Savior has won on the cross on your behalf? Then why don't you rise up and assert your rights? Never again cower when the enemy comes to oppress you or tempt you. Claim the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you tell your flesh, "Hey, flesh, you're not in command here anymore. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm going to start glorifying Jesus in this body, which is God's." Why don't you do that? Why don't you tell your old friends who say, "Come on, come on, come back to us. Come on, let's go out and do this." No, I'm in command here. Sorry, you got nothing on me anymore. You need to come to Jesus. You'll be free too. You'll have a victory too. Why don't you tell the devil, "I am in command here, Satan. You ain't not today, Satan." Not because you've won the victory. You've been languishing in prison. But because Jesus has won the victory. Amen? Speaking of claiming the victory, because we know we fight not for the victory, but from the victory. It's already assured. We at Point Harbor have engaged in fulfilling Jesus' great commission we've been talking about. And we've been strategizing over the next 10 years. What are we calling it? 25. What? 25 by 35. 25 churches that we plant, level one churches that we support the pastor fully by, what's the 35 stand for? 2035, 10 years. 25 level one El Salvador churches. They plant three churches each if they're healthy, which means 75 level two El Salvador churches, 100 total El Salvador churches by 2035. That is what we believe God's mission is for us. Cool thing is, "Oh, John, that's a lot." We've already got six. And one of the pastors of those six is here with us today. Pastor Jorge Saffron is here from Cuba. We got a church plant in Cuba. And he's doing a great job. So where is he at? Jorge, come on down. Give him a hand. Yes, si, señor.
Speaking in tongues.
You're right. So Jorge, greet the folks. Tell them a little bit about what you're doing. Some of them don't know. Jorge's planted a church in Cuba. In Havana, is that how you say it? Havana, Cuba. And in his backyard, when I was there, like 75, 80 people in the backyard. And so God is doing some cool things. So,
well, first, we want to give thanks for this opportunity. It's great for us to be here and share what the Lord is doing in Cuba. But first, receive our greeting from Cuba for all of you. The Lord greeting. The Lord are making great things in Cuba through our church there, no matter what difficult situation we are living right now in our country. Sometimes I ask myself, I don't know how people could live with this difficult situation. Many people are leaving the country, but not every people have the opportunity or the resources to leave the countries and need to stay in Cuba. But we want to give thanks because we are helping people in the church and helping people in our neighborhood through the work that our children, Sembrador, are doing in Havana and other provinces in Cuba. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, because you've been through the power grid went out totally, and then the hurricane, right? So, yeah, it's just back to back. And... Amen.
It's like the man that it's like the Bible when Paul finished a hurricane in the sea and get to the isla of Malta's island.
Yeah.
And then a serpent, and people say, wow, I'm now.
Yeah.
It's the same Cuba, back to back.
Amen.
But thanks God that the Lord help us, provide for us, and we are helping people in our neighborhood and around the island, no matter the difficult situation that we are living.
Amen, amen. Now, the 25 by 35, because that impacts you as well. So we could say, all right, Jorge, we'll make you number one. Jorge, right there in Cuba. We've got Nicaragua, right? Two in Nicaragua, and then two in Peru. What was it?
Peru.
Peru. Thank you. And one here in Hampton Roads. Amen. So, as this church right here, Jorge, the strategy. How do you see that fleshing out, working out in Cuba? What does that mean to Jorge and Jorge's church?
The first impression that I have from that, do you know what? The first impression that I have, can I say?
You say, yes, see, I hope.
You are crazy.
It's big, see?
For normal person, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But for believer, no.
Amen, amen, amen.
Because that says what I found in the New Testament in Acts books. That's what the church did.
Yeah, amen.
That says what the church did. And when you come to Matthew 16, and Jesus asks his disciple, what people say that who I am? And what he say? No, he say, but Peter say, you are the Son of God. And say, okay, Peter. But I want to establish my church. And God wants to do today is the church.
Yeah,
it's the church. I agree 100% with your message this morning. 100%. Because it's the church. It's the church. It's the church. And I understand clearly the word of God that you put here from Ephesians. Could you put again? Ephesians 1, my hope, my treasure, my calling.
You can tell we're winging it here.
More. It's Ephesians 1:15.
15?
Yes.
All right, hang on.
I am praying for you in the way that...
Un momento, por favor. Lots of writing. See?
Yeah. I would like to answer this from my perspective. I know what is my calling. I know what are God hoping than me. I know what God wants to do through my life. And I hope that you understand today what God wants to do through your life.
Amen.
Because the next says, the next verse, my calling.
Nope. Nope.
The treasures that we have in Jesus. What the heart, my calling, you. Yes, the next.
Next.
Yes. Riches.
Yes.
Riches. Wow. Yeah, we have riches in Cuba, but you have more riches here in the United States. More. And you know what? Maybe 2 days ago, I watched in the TV one message that you shared maybe 2 weeks ago about that you say that people bought food for your pets.
Pay more for the dog food than they do to plant churches. I know. Amen.
He's the pastor, not me. And the riches, we need to involve in the mission of God with our gifting, and this is The United States is a healthy country. I don't ask for money. I only ask you to involve in the mission of God. Because I know what God wants to do through me. I am a pastor and I am a training leader to establish new churches. The only way to impact the world today is through the gospel of Jesus. Amen. The only way that Amen. The gospel of Jesus could impact is through churches. And the only way that the churches could be good impact is through good and strong leaders.
Amen. Amen.
And I know what God wants to do through me. I am established leaders, established believers to send and open new churches.
Amen. Now let me go back to this thing real quickly. We'll wrap it up. If I can find my little pretty pictures. All right. Jorge's already been doing this. You have how many men are you mentoring to pastor?
Right now we have three new churches, but we are established and working with 12 pastors.
With 12?
12 leaders. 12 leaders that have the potential
wow.
to be a pastor.
Wow. He was doing this before we got him. That's one thing that we're like, oh man, this guy. And we came after you a long time. And he finally said, okay, God, okay. And so we're having that in Peru and in Nicaragua as well. But Jorge is kind of ahead of the curve. So pray. I mean, I'm serious. Pray for Jorge. Pray for what they're going through. Because Christians there would look at you guys and go, oh, Amen. You spoiled people. You're complaining about this. Serious? So, real quickly before we go. Training center in Cuba.
Yes. We want to build a training center in Cuba. It's more easy to get a visa to travel to Cuba to get the visa to the United States.
Right.
And it's more easy to send the pastor and leader from Latin America, from Central America to Havana to receive this kind of training to send to open
yes.
new churches.
Because we try to have all the pastors come here, but then our State Department, you know, in all their wisdom said, no. But we can get into Cuba from our pastors in Nicaragua, pastors in Peru, wherever you know God calls us, they can come to Cuba. So we can go to Cuba, and so we're wanting to build a center down there, which is going to take más dinero. See, so amen, more money. All right, not right away, but that's something that we want to do to have also a church building for them. But a training center for all of our El Sembrador pastors in Latin America. Amen?
Amen.
So pray. Also, while you're praying, I want that piece of property across the ditch. Been praying for it for 15 years. Pray, okay? Who's going to pray? All right, who's going to pray for Cuba?
Amen.
Pastor Jorge? All right, I want the pastors to come down. Speaking of that, quick, guys, come on down. Pastors, down here, we're going to gather around. You pray from there. And we are going to, and I want you to be praying. You ought to pray for all of your pastors. And Jorge is on our staff. He's a pastor, right? Francisco, Danielle. So let's gather around. And Pastor Tom, do you have a microphone? Who has a microphone? Oh, Jorge has a microphone. Tom, come back. All right, let's pray for our brother.
Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. What a great day. To be here today, to hear the message, to be convicted, to be have our toes stepped on. We need to be informed of the blessings and all that you've done for us.
Yes.
And Father, we pray for Pastor Jorge. He's not here just by happenstance.
No.
You've been doing this work for a long time, bringing all these things together. Father, we ask your blessings upon him as your servant. Father, we ask for your protection upon him. Father, we ask for your anointing and give him power. Father, we ask for your blessings upon El Salvador, Havana. Father, we ask, Lord, that they would see many souls coming to know you. Father, that they would be discipled and taught the riches they have in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray for this church that we would gather around him and support him, encourage him, not just saying, I'll pray for you, but by supporting him, by giving him the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. so that this work, and not just this work, but the works around this country and around the world will go forward and see many, many souls come to you. What an exciting time to be on this earth as you are building your kingdom. And we pray that everything be done for your honor, for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.